So today I'd like to talk about this Pali word called mudita. It means sympathetic joy, and it's part of the four Brahmaviharas, or divine abodes, and the others are metta, or loving kindness and compassion, karuna and equanimity, upekkha. I think I spoke about metta some time ago already. Talk about mudita, and it's just a joy that can arise when other people have good fortune or success, or other people are happy, then we can also feel joy and happiness for them. And it is something that we all already regularly experience probably in our lives. Like, you can imagine seeing a child happy, playing, laughing, then you feel some happiness yourself for that child. If you see a puppy, you're at the airport and you see two people just hugging each other, really happy to see each other again, you can feel this gladness in your heart as well for those people. So it can be really easy to feel this sympathetic joy, this mudita, especially for people that we know, loved ones and dear ones who are doing well. It can be easy to feel. But sometimes to experience this for strangers or even people that we don't like, difficult people, can be, you know, more difficult, can take some practice to also feel that for them. You can imagine people who, you know, do bad things, or who really, you know, awful people, call it like it. But fortunately, we can train this, just like the other Brahmaviharas. It's trainable, so it's not something that we're stuck with this level of mudita that we have now. We can really expand this. And it feels really good to feel joy, so, you know, we have some motivation to maybe to train this and to develop this in our lives. The Dalai Lama said some, probably a few decades ago, I think, there are 6 billion people in the world. If you can share joy in the good things that happen to others, your chances of being joyful are increased by 6 billion. And I think there are 8 billion people right now in the world. So that's why
we passed nine.
Wow. So we have even more chances to be happy. Let's take it in a positive way. And if we feel mudita for others, then we really transcend this comparing mind. Like, we're not like comparing to others anymore. We're just generally happy for them. So it feels connected and generous to other people when we feel this quality of mudita. But before we are there and we're able to feel it that way, some things can come up. It can be a purification process that we have to go through. So it's important that, just like all the other practices of the Brahmaviharas, also the metta practice, the loving kindness, that it is a process of purification. It will bring about what is not in line with the mudita, with the sympathetic joy yet. And this, that the stuff that is not in line with it yet, can come in the form of the so-called enemies. They call them enemies of mudita. And each of the Brahmaviharas has its own enemies. And mudita has also its own enemies. And there are two types of enemies, near enemies and far enemies. And a near enemy is that which we mistake for sympathetic joy, but that is actually not sympathetic joy. So one of those near enemies is the comparison with others, the comparing mind. Also, hypocrisy can be an enemy, and identification, so identifying with me, my, can be an enemy of joy, two of sympathetic joy. And then there's one for enemy, which is envy. It's envying other people. So all of these can arise when we start to cultivate this quality of sympathetic joy. And if they arise, then it's actually good news, because it means that the practice is working. And since it brings to light, the practice will bring to into the light what is not yet in line with mudita, in order for it to be purified. So, for example, if we think about other people's prosperity or happiness, then we might get thoughts like, oh, what about me? And I want that too. That kind of feelings of kind of envy could arise. And it might be that those kind of feelings especially arise when we are trying to practice mudita for someone that has something that we really badly want. And it's a very simple example that, for example, you go to the coffee shop and you want a donut with your coffee, and then you see on the shelf there's only one donut left, and then of course this person in front of you is taking this last donut. So then you might feel disappointment and frustration, and you might say internally to that person, I hope it tastes awful. So, this is kind of, actually a painful feeling. It's actually something that is painful in ourselves. It's kind of a mechanism of, trying to protect ourselves from this feeling of envy, but there's this envy behind it. And sometimes we can even have this feeling of wanting others to kind of suffer. Like, if that person then happens to drop their donut, you might think like, oh, just right. So we can be really aware of these kind of mechanisms that happen. And instead of being happy for this person that they get the donut, we actually feel, these painful feelings of envy and wanting the other person to not have it, basically. So these are ways of responding to other people's happiness or good fortune, and that we've cultivated throughout our lives. It's something that, we've been maybe, we've learned from our parents or from society. Often really don't think about these kind of automatic reactions that we have, recognize it. And we don't certainly not recognize how painful it is to get into these habits. And but the interesting thing is that in that donut example, then who is actually suffering? It's not that person when we think like, oh, hope it tastes awful or whatever thought we have. It's us. It's us. It's inside of us is suffering. And the other person is just happily going about their day and just, not even aware of our whole internal thing that was happening. So, but fortunately, we can train mudita, like I said. We can train the sympathetic joy. And can train ourselves to feel, more happy when other people have good fortune, even if it's, quote unquote, on our own expense, like with the donut, like we don't get the donut, but the other person gets. We can even train to be happy for that person in that situation. It can be a slow process though. It's not something that happens overnight. But one of the ways that we can train it is through the meditation on sympathetic joy. So all the Brahmaviharas have a meditation that goes, and that can be a very supportive way to cultivate it, to cultivate this quality of mudita. And the practice is also the metta practice that we do usually at the end of the evening, is something that comes from this 5th century commentary called the Visuddhimagga, the path of purification. So that's what it stands for. It was written by the monk Buddha Ghosa. And then that practice is actually the practice with the phrases. So saying those phrases of goodwill in whatever way it is, depending on which prong vihara. So the mudita has its own phrases, different phrases than the metta practice. So I will get to those in a little bit. So when we do a practice, when we actually sit down, we practice those phrases, and it can be even for 5 minutes, you know, once a week or once a day, however often we want to do it, then it is important to, you know, be aware of those feelings of envy or comparing mind, or hypocrisy, and that kind of things to come up. Just to be aware of all those purifying aspects that can happen in our minds. And we can use kind of our Vipassana meditation of noticing whatever is arising to get through this purification process. So we don't have to like stay with the mudita practice, even though there's a lot of stuff coming up for us. We can just switch to Vipassana if needed, and be aware of all those feelings that might arise, the unwholesome, unpleasant feelings. It also can be really helpful to take it not too personally and to really see this as just a purification process of old conditionings and habits. And so, like I said, the mudita practice works the same as the metta practice with those phrases that we can silently repeat for ourselves from this place of our hearts. And often here in the Sangha, we sometimes also do it out loud at the end of metta practice, but typically it's been done in silence. And typically for each prong vihara, there are also some categories that we go through. Categories of beings. And for each prong vihara, the order is slightly different. So we always want to start with the category that is easiest. And for mudita, that is a dear person who experiences some happiness or good fortune or some joy or something good in their lives. And after that, the order of the categories is a benefactor, a neutral person, a difficult person, and then all living beings. That's the order that we practice in. So that's going to be from easy to the more difficult and more difficult. And all beings comes at the end, because that includes everyone. So that's supposed to be the most difficult one. I don't know if you've noticed, but the self is not in this list. And well, the Brahmavihara, the other ones, the self is always in the list. But for mudita, in the text of that monk Buddha Ghosa, 5th century, he advised not to do it for self, that we can't really practice this for ourselves. But there are many contemporary teachers who do say like, oh, we can also practice this for ourselves. And it can actually be a very fruitful thing to do, very nurturing thing, especially with our Western minds, a lot of self-judgment and harshness towards ourselves. Some joy for ourselves can be really healing in a way. And it can even, you know, if we start, the more we start to feel this joy for ourselves, feel that we can rejoice in our own good qualities, in our own good fortune, the more it actually can help us to appreciate others. Because we are happier just with ourselves, the way we are. So that can really reflect onto how we feel about others. It's much easier to feel happy for other people if we feel grounded and happy in our own lives. So it can be a real good you know, reason to practice joy for ourselves and practice this mudita for ourselves. And Thich Nhat Hanh, he says, we rejoice when we see others happy, but we also rejoice in our own well-being. How can we feel joy for another if we don't feel joy for ourselves? I think that's a really good point. How can we feel it for someone else if we can't feel it for ourselves? And if we start to see our own, you know, good qualities and rejoice in them, rejoice in our own good fortune, then we can also start to see that our good fortune has many different causes and conditions. It's not just only, you know, our own merit that brings about these good conditions. It's like often has to do with, you know, help you get from friends or family members or an education you had or just pure luck. And that seeing how all these causes and conditions come together to bring about this good fortune that you had can help to also see that for other people, it's not that they have something special or that they, you know, are got, you know, into it because of all their own merit only. It's just something, cause and conditions coming together for this person, for his good fortune to arise. And it might help to, you know, feel some more joy for this person. It might also help deal with some envy that might arise. And so also for mudita, and I might have mentioned this for the loving kindness too, is that our intention is very important. So practicing mudita, even though we might get into this whole purification process and we might not feel much of the joy yet, then this intention of wanting to cultivate this joy, wanting to cultivate that you can be happy for others or for yourself, is actually what is the wholesome thing about the whole process and what's planting those seeds, just like with the love and kindness. So our job is just to plant those seeds and not, you know, to worry about when those seeds will flower. We can just, you know, take it 1 minute at a time and see what happens. So the phrases for the mudita practice, I mean, these are just some suggestions. I am happy for your happiness. I take joy in your good fortune. May your joy continue. May it grow. May your joy lead to even deepening ease and freedom. Those are some suggestions. And then for the self, for ourselves, we can use those same phrases, but then put it in the I form. And then we can add a phrase is, and it's, may I value my own good qualities. And we can be creative with those phrases. So we can look at phrases that might resonate better with us than these. You know, we can change the words up a little bit or just make different phrases. And also, you can just stay with an easy being, an easy person for as long as you like. You don't have to change to something difficult if you're not ready for it. So that way you can just enjoy the practice if you can. And if you feel like up for a bit more purification, then you can always also, you know, dip your toe into something more difficult every once in a while and see what happens, see what comes up for you. And then lastly, I'd like to point out that using those phrases is just one way of practicing mudita. Just with all the Brahma Viharas, those phrases are just one way. There's also another way, and this is called a radiating practice. And the Buddha describes that for each of the Brahmaviharas, and so there's this paragraph that he describes, that he talks about in the suttas, and he has the same paragraph for each Brahmavihara. So I'll read it for sympathetic joy, but you can just replace sympathetic joy with loving kindness or one of the other ones as well. It goes like this. One abides pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with sympathetic joy. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above, below, around, and everywhere. And to all as to oneself, one abides pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with sympathetic joy. Abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. So the Buddha here kind of assumes that we can all sit here and radiate it out to all corners of the world. But for most people, it's not that simple. So most people, it's can be really helpful to use the phrases first. And once we feel that the juices are flowing, we can just start radiating. So feel free to just radiate if you can. And if you can't, use the phrases. I was thinking of doing a short mudita practice, but it's already pretty late. So let's go for the discussion first. And then we, instead of ending with metta, we can end with mudita. So let me end with a quote from the Buddha, which is, if it was not possible to cultivate the good, I would not ask it of you.